Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I am Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. Except today, it's a little bit different. We're doing things different. It's not on our usual day, Andrew.
What is it, a Monday now?
It's Monday. It's just barely Monday. Got it in under.
I feel like we've already done this episode, too.
Yeah, except now we're doing it for reals. This is literally for real this time.
Yeah, last time we were just, like, memeing around, watching some TikTok, and now...
We were riding, you know, the meme train then. We were just like, let's see what this goes, but now...
It's legit.
It's legit. But what are we talking about, Andrew? What are we talking about?
We're talking about Remy the Ratatouille, the rat of all of my dreams. I still can't get over how bad those lyrics are.
Those lyrics don't appear in the show, really, by the end of it. They take that melody a bunch, but they don't sing Remy the Ratatouille, the rat of all our dreams.
They end the show with it, though.
I mean, that's fine. That's the iconic one. It's okay to... But in the narrative, they never call him Remy the Ratatouille. We're talking about Ratatouille the TikTok musical.
Ratatouille the TikTok musical, but, like, the real one. Not
the real one.
Yeah.
Gotta be very clear. We aren't talking about none of fake ones out there.
No fake Ratatouille musicals. We're talking about the legit shit. You know what I'm saying?
So the Ratatouille musical was put together by a bunch of TikTokers that all together got into this group think of, like, what if there were songs to the Ratatouille movie? And what if it was a stage musical? And all these talented collaborators came on together to make something interesting, you know?
Like, they made something.
They did. What have we made in our lives, Andrew, that compares to the Ratatouille musical? They've done more than us.
I think our show combined probably has a similar number of downloads. I don't know.
I'm going to say no. I'm arguing no. Because this one, like, pay what you will event, it was for one night, basically, for 72 hours. They made over $1 million. That's a full week of, like, Broadway ticket sales.
That's
in
true.
One performance for one show.
Who gets that money? It went to the actors fund or something like that?
Yep. That's the way they got around all the unions of people and all these big actors coming together.
Did they have to get rights from Disney and all that as well?
The only thing from Disney I saw was a special thanks, like, right at the end of the credits. That was the only mention.
Maybe they only needed to ask Disney, like, can we do this one-time thing?
I think for the fact that it isn't for a profit is part of the reason why they were able to get away with that.
Well, that doesn't necessarily have much to do with copyright a lot of times, though. Like, just because you do something for free doesn't mean you get to violate copyright.
Well, this is kind of like Disney didn't want to be the one ruining everyone's fun, if that makes sense. They didn't want to look like the bad guys.
Disney's not as bad as, like, Nintendo.
No, Nintendo would sue for less. Like, yeah.
Nintendo is like, oh, you played our game and streamed it to somebody? You're under arrest.
But Disney is very big on they don't want a Streisand effect themselves into, like, Oblivion.
Yeah. I wonder if this will go anywhere, you know?
I mean,
this made a lot of money. Didn't make
where well, else technically could it go didn't is make, the thing.
It didn't make any money, but, like, it could have made a lot of money if it wasn't donating all of the proceeds. But I'm just wondering if eventually they try to stage something like this. Maybe they flesh it out a little bit more and then try to actually stage it.
I mean, Who's to... I don't know. I don't think they can, really. Because I can't even say is the wacky part. Like, there is no precedent for any of this.
It's true. This is the first time this has ever happened.
And all because of, like, collective, like, homebody syndrome, because we're all trapped the hell inside.
Also because of the greatness of Ratatouille, which is the best Pixar movie.
It is. It really is. Like, I think I stood by that when we did our initial record, but it is.
Yeah. And Soul has come out and has not dethroned it, so...
It is very good, though. Soul is pretty darn good.
Soul's very good, but Ratatouille just is
It hits
so
that
good.
Sweet spot.
It's so good. All right, let's talk about the show. I mean,
right,
we both
Andrew.
Watched it now.
We did. You watched it just last night, so you're probably a little bit more fresh than I am. I think first and foremost, we got to talk about the casting. The casting of this was...
I thought it was quite good, actually. I was expecting worse.
There were some pretty wacky choices. Specifically, I'm thinking of, like, Adam Lambert as the brother, who was, like, a big, goofy, chunky guy, and Wayne Brady as the dad. Like, Wayne Brady looks too... I know he's older, but he looks too young to be anyone's dad.
Okay. I can understand the casting, though, because, I mean, imagine this was a normal stage show. You got to get the one big star, you know, that, like,
well,
everybody knows.
Everyone's the one big star, kind of.
Yeah, but Adam Lambert has, like, a lot of sway outside of music theater.
Yes. Yes, you're right. I see what you mean. That
and, like, American where else are you going to put him except for, like, the brother role?
Yeah, because you can't really make him Linguini.
No, he doesn't. And the guy who was playing Linguini was fantastic.
Andrew Barth Feldman, like, he's a kid. Like, he's about to go to Harvard right now.
Fantastic. He did a great job.
He was great. I think everyone did a great job, even if they did something different. I wasn't a big fan of how they portrayed Remy, the character himself. I think Titus Burgess...
They were trying... I think the problem with Remy is they relegated him to a narrator role, and they cut so much from the movie and give it, like, made it narration... because they wanted it to be shorter and they didn't have enough songs,
right.
I think. So most of his character is just him explaining what's happening.
And then throwing, like, a trigger warning joke in there.
Yeah, it's just like, if this was an actual... I can picture this being an actual show and him, like, not having to, like, every time he talks, explain, like, 10 different things that happened.
Right. And then we became best friends and blah, 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 blah. And then this, and then this, and then, oh my gosh, and then the climax of the film happened.
If there is a worst part of the show, it is that. They had to cut so much, and it's just like, it almost feels like a third of the show is Remy explaining what actually happened.
I mean, kind of. I'd almost kind of prefer, like, a narrator character as opposed to Remy being the narrator, so at least you can kind of make Remy his own thing. Even though in the show,
in the movie,
the narrator.
In the movie, Remy is the narrator, and he does do that, so I see why they did it, but, like, in the movie, he doesn't have to explain as much stuff as
right.
in this.
Like, they take what is, it's about an hour and 40, the movie? It's a long Pixar movie. And do you know the backstory behind that film? That Brad Bird had to come in and, like, fix it and, like, had to redo most of the film in, like, a third of the time?
I did. I don't know the backstory. All I know is that the finished product is amazing, but I don't know the backstory of it.
Yeah, Brad Bird is a good director. A very demanding one, but a very good one. I feel like for an hour long, if feels like, okay, this covered everything. All the songs were fun and, like, all that. So, let's dive into these songs. Let's just think about it. That opening orchestration where you have the girl from TikTok coming up and she's like, oh my gosh, we all came together and did this. And then you hear, like, the overture and the actual orchestra they got together to play these TikTok songs.
Honestly, the songs are by far the best part of this show.
Yes.
Because the book is rushed as heck, and you can kind of tell, like, because
right.
most of the book is just exposition, like 90% of it, as I was just explaining. but the songs, and the only complaint I have is that they kind of overuse the one song, the Remy the Ratatouille song that was the most popular.
But they slide it into, like, other songs, and it works pretty
they
good
do.
For me.
It works pretty good, and for such a short show, to have that recurring theme throughout is a good thing. So, I guess if it was a longer show and they did that for every song in like a 2-hour show, I'd probably complain more about it. But it's only an hour long and there's only like, what, maybe 6 or 7 songs? I don't even know.
I don't know either. But I remember the first one, like, Trash Is Our Treasure, sung by Wayne Brady. Like, that was incredible. It's as incredible as the TikTok itself and captures everything that I loved about that original version in a much bigger, much more elaborate orchestrated number. And I want to compliment the people that turned like the basic piano into like a full-fledged musical theater sound.
Yeah,
like,
I'm wondering
that was remarkable.
Who they got to do the orchestration on that, because there was definitely additional composing and stuff than just what came from the TikTok videos.
It was recorded by the Broadway Sinfonietta, which is pretty cool, and like I loved like the look of all of them. They were, yeah, hats off to them.
I think it's very nice that they wove Remy into some of these songs.
Yes.
I remember my biggest complaint with the TikTok videos is that literally none of them contained Remy.
Yes. None of them. They didn't give him an I Want song. And here they push his I Want song into the opening number in a very good way that I thought worked very well as well.
Yeah. And I liked that a lot. And honestly, that was where I was like, man, I'm actually a bit impressed by this. They made it, like, work.
They made it a musical. Like, they did it. Yeah.
It's,
who'd have thunk?
I was kind of expecting, like, okay, it's like an hour long. They're just going to have some big names sing a few of these TikTok songs and okay. But they actually, like, made it kind of work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they took the basic ideas from the movie, like, with the opening number, Anyone Can Cook, with Chef Gusteau, who really doesn't show up again. Like, he was a ghost and recurring character throughout the movie, and he, like, has his opening scene and then doesn't
I feel
pop
like
up
if,
again.
If it was an actual fully fleshed out stage show, he would be in it more. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with 1 hour, they had enough characters that they had to get through, that they couldn't really give him more time.
No, that makes sense. But he's great when he's on screen. Like, he looks,
oh, yeah.
Chamberlain looks the part.
Absolutely. It's really good casting, and he does a good job with it, too.
He brings them energy, and how it becomes, like, Remy's I Want number and, like, the basic theme of it, and then it all ties together with the review at the end. It's like it was meant to be a little bit.
We have to sort of discuss the ridiculous way that this is done. Gusteau is literally just... Kevin Chamberlain is the guy, right?
Yeah.
He's just in his kitchen.
And he put the book up, the novelty book.
He did put the novelty book up that he probably printed off of his home computer. But like,
it works.
It's half of the show is like
look at their house. Look at how nice their house is.
It's kind of like that, but it's more like a bad like YouTube recreation of
it's like
Ratatouille.
Us right now. If we were to recreate Ratatouille as is right
yeah.
now,
I don't want to compare it to like old like Nostalgia Critic type stuff,
oh,
but
no.
Like
no, you mean current Nostalgia Critic like stuff.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It honestly, the older stuff was more effort was put into it.
I'm
about
to say
no, but like. That's kind of how half of the show feels because none of them are together on stage. So they're kind of like, I think the funniest part is the fight scene with the, what's the old woman's name? Mabel.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah.
And she's going to kick the rats out of the kitchen. And it's literally just like them pretending to run. And they're like, their split screen gets cropped in and Mabel pushes them around. It's so bizarre.
I mean, shit like that. The thing that bothered me sometimes is when the timing wasn't quite on for the other person and they had to like slow it down and you could see the artificiating of like their body as they kind of like.
I mean, I guarantee it's hard to coordinate something like that where there's people
right.
speaking and responding, and especially singing and responding.
Yes.
And they're not actually together. So, I mean, I can definitely see that.
I do want to say, like, the one I think I felt the most chemistry between them while they were singing was Ashley Park, who played Colette, and Andrew Barth Fellman, who played Linguini. Like, their scenes, like... they really jived together. Like, they felt real.
I think another complaint I had with the show, which is way more a limitation and not an actual complaint, but, like, they had to skip most of Linguini's plotline.
Yeah.
Which felt a bit sad, because I honestly wanted to see more Colette and Linguini. I think that they both did really good.
Yeah, they didn't really have a good, like, love song, quote-unquote.
No, but I feel like it's mostly because they had to skip it all. Because right. they had to get to the ego stuff they had the Skinner song as well. So, like, they had to
cover a lot of ground.
I'm surprised they didn't skip the Skinner stuff, but I guess they just had a good song for him prepared, so they went with it.
And they didn't really talk about the other funny characters, like the Will Arnett, like, guy that kills a man with his thumb and all that. They didn't really have places here.
Yeah, they just skipped all that. I mean, I'm picturing in my head, like, this actually going to stage and...
Right. We're trying to give this as much credit as we can.
And them adding all that stuff. But as it is right now, I mean, none of that stuff is there, so...
No.
It's missing aspects of the movie that are really great that could fit and could work really well, but aren't there right now.
It's hard to talk about this show because there's a lot of praise to drop on it. Did you catch, this is the one part that floored me, like the one part that I was like, that got snuck in. They wouldn't probably have allowed that. And it was the F slur, the gay F slur being slid in there by Larry Owen.
I don't think I caught that.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't, and I remember watching it because I'm like, oh, it's Larry Owen from The Strange Loop. I love him.
I feel like I would have noticed that, but I don't think I caught it.
It was literally a one-line cameo, and he said he was like from... I'm sure the line was written as, I'm from the, what you call it, baguette, but he said it as an F instead of a B.
Okay. Do you think it was intentional, or do you think that was,
I think,
like,
it was intentional from him, and he just did it as a joke. Like, okay. To see if anyone would catch it, to be honest.
And a lot of people didn't.
Yep.
Including me.
And I'm... So that was the one thing I was like, oh, Disney's not going to be happy when they find that out.
I mean, maybe it wasn't intentional. Maybe it's a weird thing. I don't know.
No, it was very much intentional, if I know Larry Owen, based on his Twitter.
Oh boy.
Okay. Best song. Andrew, what do you think the best song in the show was?
I think Remy's I Want song I was the most impressed by. I was like, wow, they actually made this happen. I especially remember them coming back to the Remy the Ratatouille theme and like the lyrics weren't that. And I was
yeah,
like, oh my god,
worked.
they fixed the lyrics. Holy shit. Like I was pretty impressed.
What'd you think of Adam Lambert's song? I forget what it's called, but he has like this...
It's
he
like
really
life,
brought out the...
Life of a Rat or something like that.
Yes.
I don't remember. I did like that song, though. I think he did a good job.
I don't think there's a single bad song in here. Like, I know they're like TikTok
Honestly,
songs done by kids, but still.
The bad stuff is the stuff that isn't the songs.
Exactly. Like, the songs are the parts that work.
Everything I can complain about is like... The book, which honestly, I feel bad even complaining about it because obviously this show was like rushed together, so like it's not really fair to complain about this stuff. But the bad stuff is like the book, the way that the set had to be done because obviously they couldn't get together, like that kind of stuff, which is not fair to complain about, you know? Whereas the songs are like honestly impressively good for what it is.
The one I think I was surprised by the most was the Anton Ego song, which as a TikTok I was a little unimpressed with. If you refer to the footage, I was like,
"I think
oh,
it was
how's that gonna work."
I think it was more of a performance issue. I think you get a DeShields in there. What's his name? Is that right?
Andre DeShields. Yeah.
Yeah, you get him in there, and it's like, all right, done.
Sold. I'm sold here. And he was perfection. Like,
oh yeah.
There's. Nothing I would change about him at all.
Oh no, that was great. I think the way they had the younger one and him sing together was good as well.
That was beautiful. Like actually a beautiful moment in this weird TikTok parody thing.
Which is why I'm thinking like is this really just going to go away? You know, like, because this is gone today, right? At 7
yeah,
o'clock today.
At 7
so by
o'clock
the, by today. The time, by the time you're listening to this, it's
you
gone.
You can never hear this again. It's gone unless yeah. you... download well, it illegally.
I'm sure it's somewhere, but it's
yeah,
gone.
Be, yeah, it's gone. It's gone. Sorry, you missed out, fuckers.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it somewhere, but technically, legally, it's gone. I'm a little disappointed by that, because it's like, there's a lot of good stuff in here that I want to see expanded on. I'd love to see this, like, as a full show, like...
yeah, the only negative about this is the limitations based on what they had to do. Like, honestly. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So Disney, hire all these children. Hire these children to write your musical.
There's honestly so many legal problems going forward from this, though.
Do we want to talk about that? Do we really want to talk about, like, why... in one night, they made an entire week's worth of money.
It's true, but technically, if they try to make this a real show, the composers of the show, of the songs, are... probably at least some of them are not legal to work. So how do you do that?
I mean, that's a question. Like, how do you get a Hannah Montana out there? Like, that's the fact is you do have those child abilities to, like, get Miley Cyrus dancing and shit.
They could jump
through the loops, but I feel like there'd be a lot of money sharing and then no one
would get anything. My biggest worry, if they try to go forward with this, which I would be shocked if there isn't somebody at Disney that's trying to figure out how to spin profit out of this.
Right.
I would be very shocked if there wasn't somebody looking at this like, this is just free money. Somebody else wrote this for us.
We can literally just take it. And the audience is there. We have proof the audience is there and they want this.
Yeah, and like Disney technically already owns the majority of the rights. They just don't have the songs and stuff, but they have the right. whole movie. I mean,
like this doesn't exist without the movie. The question is, the thing is, this is where the Insidious part comes in, which is my fear. So what? Let's say I'm Mr. Bob Iger or Bob Chapek or whoever the fuck runs Disney right now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say that you and I are both that. I see this, and I'm like, huh. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to get this viral beforehand. Start slipping some things in. Let's say we want to do A Bug's Life, the musical. And we just say that's what we're doing. And then we're like, on our official Disney page, submit your song for A Bug's Life, the musical. And then sign all this shit. And then we own that song forever and you get nothing.
And that's
what I think the next step is, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that is the shitty
thing. I was just going to say, I'm worried about the rights of the composers. Because some of these people don't know their rights, and they'll just be like, Disney wants to use my song! They're going to give me $200, and then Disney's gonna make millions off of it, and they get $200 and no royalties.
Put it on Freeform or some shit and just play it 1,000 times. Like, they won't even make the musical. They'll just own that song and be able to meme it themselves.
And I guess my one thing to say is, if Disney approaches you and you're one of the people that wrote one of these songs...
Read your contracts.
Read the contract, please.
Yes. Protect yourself, kids.
And that's not for my sake. It's for your sake. You're owed the money, okay? Get royalties
out
of your portion.
Yes. And that's the scariest thing of this. The thing I honestly want to happen out of this is these kids get jobs in the future. Like, this is the best thing to have on a resume that people can refer to. It is nomenclature, like, so
there is,
that if
there
they
is
do
videos
submit their
of famous Broadway people singing your music. I mean,
imagine how great that's going to look on a portfolio if you're applying to NYU or Tisch and you have like Wayne Brady singing your song.
Yeah, it looks good. So, you know, just don't throw that away because Disney approaches you with $200 and you want that money.
Yes. I think that's the reason why Disney won't do more with this, because they want to control their narrative, and they can't control this. This happened outside of their things, and they're not a big fan of that.
Which, here's another question. Will we ever see a Ratatouille the musical, like a true on-stage Ratatouille the musical that's unrelated to this?
That is unlikely. Only because that was after the Pixar deal. There's a wacky territory of legal things. So when Disney and Pixar made their initial deal with like Toy Story and all that, they made a deal for 5 original films, and Disney would own those films. So if Pixar wanted to fuck off and go somewhere else after the contract was up, Disney owned Toy Story, Bug's Life, Monsters, Inc., and had the ability to make sequels to them.
But Ratatouille's not in that.
We're about to get there. So after the contract was up, and Michael Eisner was like, I don't need them. We don't need Pixar. We have all the sequels to their movies. Pixar was like, fine, we're just going to keep on making movies. And Ratatouille was one of the movies that they had started, and WALL-E. Those are the two films that they did while they were just free agents. Then Bob Iger took over, and he's like, no, we need Pixar. Get them back.
Yeah, honestly, and though, they do need Pixar.
And they were like, well, we've got these two movies. You have to release them. And it was Ratatouille and WALL-E and the starting position of Up. So that was the one things that like Disney didn't out. And they had no control over its creation. So for one, that feels like a slap in the face to Disney that everyone's like, why are they gardening around this one? The one that we didn't create with them.
Yeah, and that's why it's so good, by the way, because Disney didn't have anything to do with it. Though Disney is putting Ratatouille attractions into their theme parks. They're
I
claiming
mean,
credit.
I mean, if you got it. I mean, what the hell else are you going to put in, like, Paris Disneyland? Disneyland Paris.
I don't know.
Aristocats? Does that take place in Paris? That feels like it does, right?
I'm pretty sure that's, like, a British thing, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I honestly don't remember.
Who cares about Aristocats, the musical. The TikTok musical.
Aristocats, the TikTok musical. That's already a musical, though.
That, well,
everybody
so are most Disney musicals.
Wants to be a cat.
Do we cut out the racism?
No, you keep that in.
You always keep in the racism. We're Disney. You always keep in the racism.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
But now we've done it. We've gotten to this. We promised the first time that once this came to a head, we'd give cheese ratings. I do want to bring up how the end part where they have, like, the actual TikTokers next to their, like, equivalents for who sang their song. I don't know why. That got me super emotional. Just watching the end credits was, like, a real emotional experience for me, more than anything else in the show. It was great.
Honestly, I'm a little sad that this is just getting removed. Like, it's just not going to be available anymore.
I feel like for legal reasons, I have to.
I mean, I understand that. It's still, I feel like it sucks.
Oh, yeah, it sucks. No one says that legal reasons are good.
Yeah, legal reasons are probably the worst reason to do things.
I mean, following street signs and shit, maybe that's a good reason to keep on trucking our way.
Yeah, I guess. I just wish we could continue to go back and revisit this, you know?
I don't want this to end. I want this to keep being worked on, and theater is a living thing. I'm just very interested to see what Disney's equal opposite reaction is going to be. Because there will be a reaction. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your cheese rating here?
My cheese rating is American cheddar, otherwise known as rat cheese.
That's funny.
Because Remy the Ratatouille, the rat cheese of our dreams.
So I'm going to be honest. I can't find what cheese it was that he found.
You just say the cheese that Remy the Rat found at the beginning of Ratatouille.
Sure, I guess I'll say that.
Just what'd pretend, you think of it, though?
I honestly enjoyed it more than I was expecting I was going to. I thought it was going to be like a really cheap kind of thrown together mess, which, to be honest, it kind of is, but the songs
are
good.
In the best way.
The songs are good, and it feels like everyone is trying. You know, it doesn't feel like anyone is just there because, like...
No one's phoning it in.
Yeah.
Despite, like, literally phoning it in.
Yeah, despite literally speaking, phoning it in, no one feels like they're phoning it in. So, I'm gonna give it a good rating, and it's gonna be the cheese that Remy finds when he's trying to... He wants to do something with that mushroom, and he finds a cheese, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember. He finds a cheese, right? Maybe he doesn't. All else fails, it gets smoked Gouda.
Because it was really Gouda.
Yes. No.
Kill me.
No, it gets smoked Gouda because I've recently started getting into Gouda cheese. It's quite good. I never used to really eat that.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm starting to like fancy cheeses too. Like, it's become my
shit. I went through my whole 25-day, one cheese per day calendar.
Advent calendar, your girlfriend got you.
Yeah, advent calendar of cheese, and I was like, you know, I just realized I've never really had Gouda cheese, and they had a few Goudas, and I was like, this is not bad. So
you should have said it was pretty Gouda.
I'm not using that joke.
All right, Andrew, you got anything else left to say before we call it a day? Let us know what you guys thought of this. Also very important. We want to know what you thought, because we're just two idiots on the internet.
Honestly, with how popular it was, I guarantee most of our audience has already watched it. So let us know what you think. Let us know where you want it to go, and let us know what legal avenue you think it has to go there.
Yeah. And what do you think the future of TikTok musicals are?
What do you think the next TikTok musical is? Me, I'm hoping for Aristocats.
I just want, like, emo rock band Aristocats.
Oh yeah, like a bloody Andrew Jackson but Aristocats.
Yes, bloody Aristocats.
Yeah. I'm all in.
Or like Razia's Shadow, where it's just like Brandon Urie whining for 25 minutes because he's a cat.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
Everybody wants to be a kid.
Oh wait, before we go. How many of the music theater references did you catch?
Oh, I caught a bunch of them. Like, what are the ones you come to your mind?
I think I caught four. At the very beginning, I think the first one I caught is they did the Sweeney Todd thing.
Yeah.
And then they did Cats after that.
Of course.
And then there was the really cringy one where they did Les Mis. That was painful. They should have cut that
one. The thing
one.
Is, the songs weren't pastiches of musical theater songs, if that makes sense. Like, they weren't ripping... That's why it kind of felt weird to me to have that stuff in there, is because the songs were so original, and having those felt so, like,
it's just
uncomfortably
like,
derivative.
It's just like they wanted it to be like a celebration of Broadway since it didn't really happen this year, I guess. But it did feel out of place. It was like, why are you doing the Sweeney Todd jingle here? You know? Why are we referencing Cats?
Because Cats 2019, Andrew.
I feel like there was another one I caught, but I can't even remember at this point.
I just remember the F slur and trigger warning.
Yeah, trigger warning.
Like, it was trigger warning sincerity. I was like, you don't need that. That's a bad joke.
And this is a far, far right musical. We have all the conservative memes coming in.
Remy the... But the thing is, like, the moral of Ratatouille is kind of like a libertarian idea of, like...
Well, it's a Brad Bird property. I mean, they all have
Brad
that.
Bird fucking loves libertarianism. I don't know who loves it more, him or Zack Snyder, but they both love it.
Zack Snyder doesn't like libertarianism. Zack Snyder is a fascist.
I don't... Zack Snyder, like, loves
Let's not,
Atlas Shrugged.
Can we not pretend, though, he likes Atlas Shrugged, but all of his movies are straight up like
I should kill whoever I want.
I should kill
Who's
whoever I want.
Me?
The Muslim horde is coming, and we have to stop them.
Did you notice? I know we're like a Ratatouille episode, but did you notice that in the Batman v Superman, that the guy who kills fucking Batman's parents is suddenly like a brown guy?
Yeah, I didn't watch.
He's
that
never
movie,
been a but he's never been any color but white in any other version. But suddenly, when Zack Snyder films that scene, he's a brown man.
Yeah, that's because Zack Snyder is a fascist. I mean, have you seen 300?
I have
Come
not.
Come on.
I could not handle my erection while sitting there looking at Leonardo.
300 is literally like it's 300 white guys fighting off like
brown
pseudo gay brown people. Like, that's literally what 300 is. Like,
my favorite part is when Gerard Butler tells a poor like leprous guy, I can't fight with you, go away, I hate you.
Yeah, it's like, he might as well have called him a degenerate and sent him off.
Remy the
Ratatouille.
And that's all from us, guys. That devolved. That's what happens when you get the bonus episodes. You never know what you're gonna get.
Never know what you're gonna get. We might just go into how, you know, Zack Snyder is a Ayn Rand libertarian, but also mostly probably just like a Nazi, but
it's libel. It's slander when it's in print.
It's slander when it's in print. It's libel when I'm saying it.
Yeah.
You know, but if he you know, allegedly.
He's allegedly a horrible fascist.
Allegedly, all of his movies are definitely fascist propaganda.
We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. We have an actual episode coming out this week. This is not a replacement value. We
no replacement. This is bonus.
Plus some. You're getting more content from us. Don't whine about this cluttering up a goddamn like podcast feed. You're getting more content from us.
Sick.
All right, folks. We'll talk soon. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.